The book of Esther. We begin in the book of Esther today, chapter 1, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of Esther, chapter 1. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes, who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. And Xerxes was the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. And it says that Xerxes ruled over 127 provinces. A province was a section of land which had its own governor. Xerxes ruled over 127 of these, and so this was a powerful ruler. It says at verse 2, it says, at that time King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And so his royal palace was on a hill in a place called Susa. Verse 3, and in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials, the military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. And so this big banquet included all of his important officers and the governors of those 127 provinces. And let me tell you, this was a banquet. This guy knew how to throw a party, I guess. Verse 4, for a full 180 days he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. All the governors of those 127 provinces eventually came to this big banquet. Now, all the governors were probably not there at the same time. Travel certainly was not what it is today. So this party went on for 6 months to give all those governors time to come. And we see from verse 4 that one of the reasons for this party was for the king to show off his great wealth. He was a show-off, and that's going to get him in trouble. Verse 5, when these days were over, the king gave a banquet lasting 7 days in the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people from the east to the great, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. And so after the 6 months, the king throws another party. This party's for everyone. And this party lasted 7 days. Verse 6, the garden had hangings of white and blue linen, fastened with cords of white linen and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other, and the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality. Like I said, this guy knew how to throw a party. He didn't skimp on anything. He was a show-off. And each person drank wine out of their own unique gold cup. I think, if nothing else, this tells us that the king had more money than he knew what to do with. I mean, when you have to give every single person a golden cup, an individual gold cup, its own, their own unique gold cup, when you got to spend money like that, I think you got a problem. You know, wealth isn't a problem, but how a person uses it is a spiritual barometer. 28. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink in his own way, for the king instructed all the wine stewards to give each man what he wished. The king didn't force his guests to drink wine, as was sometimes the case. You know, a host might be insulted if all of his guests did not drink wine. But Xerxes did not do that. He did not force them. It was totally up to them whether they wanted wine or not. And then it says in verse 9, Queen Vashti also gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. The men and the women had separate parties. Queen Vashti was in charge of the women's banquet. The king was in charge of the men's. And then it says in verse 10, on the seventh day, when King Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the seven eunuchs who served him, Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagatha, Zethar, and Carcase, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. Well now, I'm not going to say that the Bible says you can't drink anything with alcohol in it, because it doesn't say that. But it does teach that one must use caution when drinking. Drunkenness, of course, is a sin, and having even a little too much can impede a person's judgment. Alcohol impeded the king's judgment right here. Look at verse 11 again. He had a little bit too much, and this is what he commanded, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles, for she was lovely to look at. The king liked to show off all his fancy things. And here he is treating his wife like just another fancy thing to show off. Now, I think it's good for a husband to recognize the beauty of his wife. And I think we see that in different places in the Bible, that a man was happy to have a beautiful wife, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it is wrong for a man to see his wife as nothing more than a physical object. And that is how the king is treating his queen, Vashti, as if she is just, you know, a trophy in his trophy case. He wanted her to come to this big banquet to show her off, so that all the men could just look at her, I suppose, and be envious of him. Verse 12. But when the attendants delivered the king's command, Queen Vashti refused to come. Then the king became furious and burned with anger. Well, she knew that she was going to be punished for disobeying her husband, the king. That was not a small thing. But she would rather be punished than parade herself before a bunch of drunks to gawk at. Verse 13. Since it was customary for the king to consult experts in matters of law and justice, he spoke with the wise men who understood the times and were closest to the king, Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, Mechmukin, the seven nobles of Persia and Media, who had special access to the king and were highest in the kingdom. The king showed some restraint and wisdom here, which I'm surprised to see that he had. Instead of a knee-jerk response to his wife's disobedience, he consulted the law of the land concerning what to do in a situation like this. 15. According to the law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? He asked. She has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. And so the king consulted with the legal experts on this matter. And I got to give him credit, you know, for not doing something stupid like having her head chopped off right on the spot and bringing it to the guest on a silver platter. I mean, that would not have been unheard of for kings in those days. 16. Then Mehmukin replied in the presence of the king and the nobles, Queen Vashti has done wrong, not only against the king, but also against all the nobles and the peoples of all the provinces of King Xerxes. In other words, her disobedience would start a negative chain reaction. If the queen would not obey the king, then it is doubtful that the people would obey the king. So, you know, he's got to do something. Something has to be done, one way or the other. 17. For the queen's conduct will become known to all the women, and so they will despise their husbands and say, King Xerxes commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, but she would not come. You know, in that society, the husband ruled the home like a miniature king. And so the men are concerned. You know, the queen cannot get away with her disobedience, or the other wives are going to hear about it. And then they're going to start disobeying their husbands also. Well, you know, if the queen can get away with disobeying the king, well, then we certainly don't have to listen to our husbands. And so the men of the country are really kind of upset about this. Verse 18, this very day the Persian and Median women of the nobility who have heard about the queen's conduct will respond to all the king's nobles in the same way. There will be no end of disrespect and discord. Well, you know, they've got a pretty good point here. The men were afraid of losing control of their families. And the Persians were right about one thing. I'm not saying it was right for the king to treat his wife Vashti the way he did. I'm not saying that at all. But the Persians were right about one thing. Someone in the family has to be in charge or there's going to be chaos. And that's no good either. And the Bible teaches that husbands are to lovingly lead their wives and children. Verse 19. Therefore, if it pleases the king, let him issue a royal decree, and let it be written in the laws of Persia and Media, which cannot be repealed, that Vashti is never again to enter the presence of King Xerxes. Also let the king give her royal position to someone else who is better than she. She disgraced the king publicly, and so her punishment would be known by the public as well. At least that is what they recommend. A public disgrace deserves a publicly known punishment anyway. And so the king, in effect, would divorce her publicly and let everybody know that he divorced her. You know, I think the king would have done much better to issue a public apology for treating her like a physical object. That would have been a better thing to do. It's always best to apologize when you're wrong, even when it's not easy. Verse 20. Then when the king's edict is proclaimed throughout all his vast realm, all the women will respect their husbands, from the least to the greatest. Well, I don't think this is going to make wives respect their husbands at all. Not if they treat their wives the way the king treated Vashti. They will fear their husbands, perhaps, but not respect them. Verse 21. The king and his nobles were pleased with this advice, so the king did as Memucan said, as he proposed. And I think they all felt relieved that the queen didn't get away with her disobedience. In verse 22, he sent dispatches to all parts of the kingdom, to each province in its own script, and to each people in its own language, proclaiming in each people's tongue that every man should be ruler over his own household. And the idea of the husband being in charge of a household is biblical, because the husband, whether he realizes it or not, will answer to God for what goes on in the family, because God has put him in charge. He has made the husband responsible. That's just the way it is. Whether a husband accepts that responsibility, it doesn't matter. Whether he believes it, it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. The thing is, the husband is supposed to lead with love, not with an iron fist. That's where the Medes and the Persians got it wrong. We'll pick it up in chapter 2 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.